Good morning, and welcome to A Healthier You. I'm your host, David Christopher, with my co-host, Fawn. And today, as always, we're going to talk about ways of making you healthier. What a beautiful day it is today.
It's absolutely beautiful. A good day to be out in our garden waiting.
You know, speaking of gardening, I guess you got a little upset with me the other day because I went out and I guess took out the pumpkin plants.
Unknowingly.
And left the purslane.
I know.
But I was thinking of growing a patch of purslane, and we are. We're growing a pretty good patch. And
the problem with the purslane is that it goes everywhere. It doesn't stay in one spot.
That's true, but it is a very nutritious herb that we're just overlooking. Most people just pull that out and go, what is the matter with this stuff? Why is it grown in my garden? And they're pulling it out, and it's a very high in the omega-3 fatty acids. One of the few sources for vegetarians,
yeah.
And it tastes pretty good, really. Put it in salads and it tastes quite nice. So purslane is something you might want to think about, you know, in your garden.
If you can contain it in your garden somewhere.
If you can contain it in your garden. We had a nice little herb walk with Bob the other day.
Yes,
Bob Bird.
Did.
Yeah.
With our winter class.
Right. And we'll be holding another herb walk. People can start signing up for that one. They need to call the school, 489-4254, and reserve a space. We're going to do an herb walk mid-July.
That's good.
It'll be fun. Look forward to that.
Are we going up in the mountains? Or?
Yes, we'll be going up in the mountains. We call this Herb Walk 2.
Okay.
The other one was Herb Walk 1, where we go into Bob Bird's backyard, which has a lot of plants. Herb Walk 2 is where we go out and look at it in the mountains.
Good.
Sounds fun. They'll have to wear their hiking boots. And then we'll be starting the classes again at the end of the July.
Yes, the last Wednesday in July, as a matter of fact, July 27th, is when we begin our new semester of classes. And we'll have more information on that in the next couple of weeks, but that's when we start our new semester, and those that are wanting to get that scheduled and into their calendar, now's the time to do it. Call the school and make sure that you're on our list.
Well, today we want to talk about comfrey.
That's a good plant.
It is. It really is. It's had a lot of bad publicity lately, but and the FDA is trying to get it off the market. But I thought it'd be nice, since there is the controversy, to maybe talk about comfrey a little bit. Comfrey is something that I've grown up with. I always kind of remember comfrey as something that was used in my home. And comfrey plants, my mom, everywhere we went, you know, planted comfrey. And so I guess people that bought the houses afterwards were going, what is this plant that you can't get rid of? Once you get comfrey going, you can't get rid of it. It's really tough. You dig it up, and if you leave just one little sliver of a root, it'll grow another plant.
Wow.
And so if you dig and turn over the dirt and stuff, and you spread the comfrey, and you get a lot of plants, it's an interesting plant. I guess one way, if you really wanted to get rid of comfrey, I don't know why you would, but if you really wanted to get rid of comfrey, is set the pigs after it. Because what they'll do is they'll burrow in there, and they'll find all the comfrey roots and eat them, because they find it very nutritious.
Hmm.
In fact, comfrey has been used for centuries as animal feed. And it's interesting that horses do very well in comfrey, and they've been using them for race horses and such. You know, it doesn't necessarily make them run faster, but it just improves their overall health. And horses can take a lot of comfrey and have no problem. And one of the problems that the FDA says that comfrey has is a substance called pyrrolizidine alkaloid. There's a certain alkaloid that's in comfrey, but it's in a lot of other plants too. And horses don't seem to have a problem with that. However, it's related plant, something in the same borage family, is hound's tongue. And hound's tongue is absolutely devastating to horses. We had an experience here locally. One of the local ranchers had come to see me about horses that were dying from a hay crop they'd got that had a lot of hound's tongue in it. And so the vet had just said, well, you know, that's it. They're just going to die. And he didn't accept that. And so looking in a magazine, he saw some information about Which herb is that? That's for the liver.
Thistlen.
Yeah.
Thistle.
Yeah. He saw an article about thistlen, and so he came in to see about it. And basically, what we did was put the horses on a combination of Dr. Christopher's liver formula, which is high in barberry, and then also small amounts of the thistlen. Put it in their feed. Put it in little made little squares with molasses and the feed, and then putting the herbs in too, and the horses ate it just fine. And they lost one horse that had died, but all the horses that had taken this liver preparation, they all survived just fine.
Wow.
Now, one of the other local ranchers who had also purchased the hay from this one, he didn't use the herbs, you know, and all of his horses died.
That's an expensive loss.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And emotional, too.
Yeah.
But all these horses were saved by using the barberry and the milk thistle. Which makes me tend to think that maybe even hound's tongue wouldn't be devastating to horses if maybe horses were raised differently today. You know, what is the problem with these herbs? You know, is it the herb itself, or is it one more thing added on to what they're doing? You know, and they give all these vaccinations and all these drugs and everything to these horses, and maybe that's what's clogging up the liver, and then one other thing like a pyrrolizing alkaloid put into the feed, you know, might kick them over. I'm not sure. And maybe in the wild, horses would just avoid that particular plant. Also, who knows, as far as comfrey is concerned, maybe they'd avoid the comfrey when it's in its small stages. See, the pyrrolizing alkaloids in comfrey, which is what the FDA says is the problem, are practically non-existent in the big, older leaves. Once the plant's gone to flower, then you don't find the pyrrolizing alkaloids in these large leaves. And one of the reasons you use them, of course, is for the protein content. Comfrey.
The larger leaves?
Yeah, the comfrey has a 26%, I think. It ranges. It depends on how it's grown, but up to 26% usable protein. You know, and a beefsteak is, what, 17%? Of course, horses don't eat beefsteaks anyway. But the comfrey has 26% usable protein. And it also has B12 in it, which is something that vegetarians have a hard time finding, you know. They say that a vegetarian is going to be deficient in B12, you know, because you don't find any place but meat, but that's not true. It is in comfrey. And it depends on how it's raised. And a recent study showed that there wasn't much B12 in the comfrey. You know, but then again, maybe the batch that they had, you know, wasn't raised the same. But even a small amount of B12 in comfrey seems to be more usable. And you can check this out by getting symptoms of B12 deficiency. One of those is a very sore, swollen tongue. Now, by taking small amounts of comfrey, that symptom can be diminished and eliminated totally with small amounts of comfrey. But it takes large amounts of a B12 supplement to do the same trick, which just kind of goes to show that the B12 and other minerals and vitamins in a plant are much more usable than something synthetic that's made, you know, from petrochemicals. So,
well, we knew that all along,
that's
though.
That's right. But getting back to the comfrey and the pyrrolizing alkaloids, the pyrrolizing alkaloids are very much in abundance in the small plant as it's first starting to grow. Also, it's very high in the root.
Now, whether it's gone to flower or not, it's still high in the root?
That's right. Now, you have to realize that comfrey is a little bit different of a plant. It doesn't have a great big tap root that goes down. It's a root that spreads kind of like horseradish. And so you get all these roots growing down, and it's not just because of one great big tap root. And perhaps comfrey puts out pyrrolizing alkaloids as a protection to itself. You know, it is such a valuable plant, and maybe it puts those out because of the way it grows to protect itself. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that maybe the pyrrolizing alkaloids have something to do with the healing.
Hmm.
Now, we know for sure that the allantoin in comfrey, it's a substance in comfrey that causes cells to regenerate and to grow faster. It's a cell proliferant. Anyway, this allantoin, which is used in drugstores too, you know, but it's recognized as being very effective. The allantoin is very high in the roots and also high when it's a small plant. But that's when the pyrrolizing alkaloids are also high too. So we've got two things to look at there. Maybe it's a protection that the plant has for itself, you know, not wanting animals or whatever to consume it when it's small. And then the way it grows by roots, root cuttings, it doesn't want animals to disturb that. And so perhaps it's a protection thing, the pyrrolizing alkaloids are a protection thing. Or another possibility, and something that hasn't been investigated, is the pyrrolizing alkaloids themselves may have a very medicinal value. One of the things we have to realize is that toxins collect in the weakest areas of the body. And when you have an accident, you know, you break a bone, that then becomes the weakest area of the body. Then these substances would go to that area. And the pyrrolizing alkaloids most likely would head right for the bone area that was broken, rather than staying in the liver. And so, maybe, just maybe, some of these plants like comfrey that are so absolutely fantastic for cell regeneration, maybe aren't such a good thing when you're healthy. Now, studies have been done on large populations in Africa and Jamaica and places like that, where not comfrey, but similar plants with pyrrolizing alkaloids have been shown to be the cause of death. But was it the alkaloids in those plants, or was it the near-starvation conditions of the people? You know, so maybe it's a combination of things. And we found with the horses that you give them the nutrients and cleanse the liver and tonify the liver, then they didn't have a problem with the alkaloids in the hound's tongue. And so maybe that's why we have never seen, in our dealings with comfrey, any problem. Because what do we always do first?
We always clean the liver.
We always work on the liver, we always work on the bowels, we always work on the urinary tract. Get the eliminative functioning working on the body so that it can process and eliminate what it doesn't need. And if it can't utilize these pyrrolizing alkaloids, it's going to break them down and pass them out into the bowels of the urinary tract. But if the liver is all clogged up and can't perform its function, it's going to stay there and cause problems. And so the key to using any medicinal plants, really, would be to first work on the liver. Make sure the liver's functioning well. And you do that with bitter herbs. Any herb that's bitter will work on the liver. Even parsley has a real bitter taste to it. And we mentioned the barberry and the Oregon grape and wormwood and yarrow and all these bitter herbs.
Yarrow is considered a bitter herb.
Yeah, yarrow is a bitter herb.
I didn't know that.
Also works well on the liver. Mm-hmm. And the thistles, blessed thistle too, are all bitter herbs that work well on the liver. So in order to utilize comfrey, maybe the first thing we want to do is go back to basics, you know, and work on the liver and get the eliminative process functioning first, and then nourish the body with wonderful herbs like comfrey.
But, you know, you could... You can still use comfrey without ingesting it, just placing it on the skin.
Oh, and even the biggest skeptics of comfrey concede that comfrey is totally harmless when used externally. And we've had some miracle cases, you know, with comfrey being used on an external basis. For example, my father, Dr. Christopher, had a patient that had 1.5 vertebrae totally destroyed. They weren't there. The person couldn't stand up because they were destroyed. And so they were missing 1.5 vertebrae. Basically, all they did was they took comfrey root preparations and placed it right on the back over the vertebrae that were the problem, and then bandaged that down. So in other words, they put the poultice there, put maybe a plastic over that, and then a dressing, and then they taped that down. And that's called a fomentation or a poultice. And just by putting that on the person's back, they regrew those vertebrae. And that sounds impossible.
But what was happening was that the body was using the nutrients and everything, that was the trace minerals that it was provided, and was able to utilize them in repairing itself.
Yes, as we said on the program time and time again, the body can't make something out of nothing. You can't create new tissue without the basic building blocks to do that. And someone that's eating potato chips and consuming Twinkies and drinking a lot of soda pop, there's no way they're ever going to regenerate vertebrae. And if you look at the basic diet of Americans, it's terrible. It's absolutely horrid. You look at the average American doesn't even eat, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables on a daily basis. And so they're not getting the nutrients necessary to have these miraculous cures. And they're not miraculous at all. That's what the body's designed to do. The body's designed to replace itself, to repair these tissues that are damaged. But it can't do it without the proper nutrients. And comfrey contains a lot of those nutrients that are missing in the daily diet. And that's why it works so well. It's not that there's anything magical about herbs. It's just that it contains these substances. Allantoin in comfrey, also being a cell proliferant, combines with these nutrients to stimulate the body into making new tissue. And so that's why someone could grow back 1.5 vertebrae and then have no problem walking around and carrying on their functions. When they thought they were going to die, they were just sent home to die. And it worked very well. Other experiences with comfrey on an external basis is concerned. Dad had an experience with two young boys that were playing with gasoline and matches. And it ignited and basically cremated their hands. And Dad had been a medic in the Army and had worked on men that had not let go in time of their grenades. And he said that these little boys had a worse problem than these men that had held on to grenades. I mean, it had really damaged their hands. And when they took them to the hospital, the condition of the hands, the doctor said, all we can really do is do skin grafting, and they're going to end up with immovable hands. But we can at least make them look a little better. One family left their son with the doctors and had the skin grafting and everything, and got just exactly what they said would happen, you know, these immovable hands. The other family said, we'll bring him back. Can we take him home for the weekend? And they said, well, sure. And they never took him back. They contacted Dr. Christopher, and he told them about this particular herb, comfrey. And basically what they did was they took wheat germ oil and honey in equal parts, put it in a blender, then they added comfrey leaves until it was a thick paste. Then they put this on the hands and then bandaged them down. And when they changed the bandages, they would just kind of let it all fall off, but not scrub or wipe or anything else, and then put new herbs on. And by doing this, the hands regained all the mobility and the skin, and it was almost like they never had the little boy had never had a problem. You know, comfrey sounds miraculous, but that's the way the body's supposed to heal. I don't think God put us on the earth to just, every time a little accident happened, to just say, well, that's it. I lost a finger, I lost a hand, I lost, you know, a nose, you know. I think the body has the capability, just like lizards, of regrowing things, if given the proper nutrients and the proper condition. We know that the blueprint's there. You see it with amputees. People that have had their limbs cut off, they can still feel that sensation in the legs, even though it's not there. It's just like it was there. They can feel it down to their toes. They can feel things, even though the leg is gone. It's because the blueprint is there. And I think the body has that capability of regrowing things if given the proper conditions. Environment conditions, yes. Let's talk about Robbie. My cousin, John Robert, his son was 5 years old and it was in an automobile accident. The automobile flipped over and he got three of his fingers ground off, crossed from the knuckle, the second knuckle, up to the first knuckle on the third one. It was just a straight line, just ground them off on the asphalt, whichever way it went. Dr. Christopher, my dad, had been staying with him at the time. They were down in California. And so they went and got the wheat germ oil, honey, and comfrey, and put some lobelia in it, and that's what they put on those fingertips. They didn't wipe everything off. You know, well, they you know, disinfected it and such. But the main thing they didn't want to do is let skin grow over it, and that would be the end of the healing. So they put this preparation on and just shook it off.
As they changed
the dressing and put it back on. And it took a while. I can't remember how many weeks it took. But it just started growing and growing and growing. And pretty soon he grew all the bones, the fingernails, even the fingerprints back. The knuckles, everything. He grew them back. And he has no problem with mobility or anything else. He grew it back. Comfrey is an absolutely, absolutely amazing herb. And that was just on an external basis.
Mm-hmm.
Just on an external basis. Yet we have seen comfrey also work on an internal basis, too. You know, and this is what they're warning about, you know, beware of consuming comfrey, you know, because it causes veno-occlusive disease, you know, where it clogs the veins of the liver. But like we said, I think that only happens if the liver is already not functioning properly. And so what we want to do is, of course, cleanse the liver, tonify it, make it work, and then go ahead and use comfrey on an internal basis. Some experiences that we've seen lately are absolutely amazing also. One of the people that we know quite well over at the herb shop was up on the mountain and running down and stepped on a rock and it gave way. And his ankle ended up on his ear. And he still walked down the hill on this and did the sweat lodge that we were doing, and then next day went and had it x-rayed, and it was broken in two places, and they were going to have to pin the bones together, and also every tendon and every ligament had been stripped off of the joint, off the bone. And the problem was is that they couldn't do the surgery because he'd walked on it. I can't imagine how he even walked on it. I mean, I got a hairline fracture skiing, and I'd collapse when I stand on it. I guess I'm just wimpy. But anyway, because of walking on it, it swollen so much that they couldn't operate. So they gave him 3 weeks to
stay off of it
so that the swelling could go down so they could operate and they could pin the bones together and reconnect the tendons and ligaments. Well, this person did just the opposite of what the FDA suggests, you know, here, and staying away from comfrey. He took that comfrey combination, which is a large part comfrey. He took it in very large amounts. We're talking anywhere from 20 to maybe 100 capsules a day. He took large, large amounts of this comfrey product and did that for 3 weeks. Also soaking it in the comfrey combination tea. And he said that it was like getting charged with electricity when he was doing this. Kind of interesting sensation. But he says he knew that the formula worked when he went back to see the doctor, and they took new x-rays, and the doctor picked up the x-ray and just almost jumped in startlement and looked at it again, put it down, and walked out of the room because I guess he thought he had the wrong x-ray. Came back in, picked it up again, compared the x-rays, and says, I don't know what happened. this is almost unbelievable. But he says, we're not going to have to do surgery and pin the bones together because they're already growing together. He says, as far as the tendons and ligaments are concerned, they're already been reattached in the right places. It's absolutely amazing. It's a miracle. Well, the body is a miracle. God gave us a wonderful body that has the ability to correct. And it works so well. It works so well. Just, a week or so ago? 2 weeks, exactly 2 weeks, yes. I had a call from a lady in Chicago, and her mother had fallen down and fractured her hip.
And how old is her mother?
Yeah, 91 years old. And the doctors wanted to do immediate surgery on this woman. Immediate surgery. Well, do you know what usually happens with an older person that goes through surgery? Usually death. I mean, you know, they're just too weakened to undergo surgery like that. At any rate, they kind of knew that, and so they decided to not do the surgery. Instead, they used just small amounts of this comfrey combination, two capsules, three times a day. But for 3 to 4 hours a day, they packed it with the formula, with the comfrey combination. They packed the hip with it.
As a fomentation.
As a fomentation, and left it there for the 3 to 4 hours, wrapped. Then, when the fomentation wasn't on, they used it in an ointment form. And then they just put it on liberally throughout the day. And 2 months later, she went back and had an x-ray, no trace of a fracture. And this was a 91-year-old woman.
I bet she was happy.
And they usually don't heal very fast at all. But yeah, 91 years old, and she healed that rapidly. Comfrey is an absolutely wonderful, wonderful herb. I don't think we can say enough about comfrey. It's just absolutely fantastic.
It is a good herb.
The,
we do have to open up the phone lines sometime.
Yeah, we'll open up the phone lines in a few minutes. Comfrey's been used for a long, long time. We can go back thousands of years to Dioscorides, a Greek herbalist. And that's probably where we got the name Symphytum, which is the Latin name of comfrey, Symphytum officinalis. It comes from the Greek word cyamphlo, whatever. I don't speak. It's Greek to me. which basically means to grow together. Because they realized that comfrey makes wounds heal. And so to grow together, and that's where the name, the Latin name of comfrey came from. Also, it's also interesting to note that the common name comfrey also is a corruption of confirma, which is also a uniting of bones. So both the Latin name and the common name allude to the fact that it mends tissue, mends bones. And we go back in history to Girard. We're looking, 1597 for Girard. And he mentions that the comfrey, you know, mends all tissue, you know, and talks about how it helps with any time you're spitting blood or urinating blood. And so that's one of the things that we use comfrey for, internal damage. If we're bleeding internally, comfrey is one of the things that we can use. I like this one, Interner's Herbal, 1568. These are really old things. It says, and the spellings are interesting. Like it's got roots as being R-O-O-T-E-S, and good as being G-O-O-D-E.
Wow.
So it says, the roots are good if they be broken and drunken for them that spit blood and are bursten, the same laid to are good to glue together fresh wounds.
Oh, what a wonderful accent you
have. I don't know if that's Old English or not, but that's what it looks like here. Anyway, comfrey's been used for a long, long time. And the Culpepper in 1649 in his herbal, and he was a scientist, you know, and really observed life. And he mentioned that comfrey helpeth those that spit blood or make a bloody urine. The root boiled in water or wine, and the decoction drunk heals all inward hurts, bruises, wounds, and ulcers of the lungs, and causes the phlegm to be easily spit forth.
So it'd be good for people with asthma.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the things that we use comfrey for, is for asthma and bronchial problems. Comfrey's an absolutely, absolutely wonderful herb that we all ought to look into. And if we're concerned about what the FDA is saying about the pyrolyzing alkaloids, hey, we just work on the liver and cleanse the system, and the comfrey won't have any problem whatsoever.
Right.
And we ought to also look at, they say, well, rat studies have shown that comfrey causes cancer or something like this, you know. What we have to realize with all these scientific studies is they don't use comfrey. They use an extraction of the plant and give large, large amounts to these rats. And over a 6 week or 6 month or whatever period, giving large doses, they induce cancer.
But they could do that with anything.
That's true.
They could take an isolate from an orange or lettuce or anything and cause cancer.
And I think I'm more closely related to a horse than a rat. And we know that horses have consumed this for centuries. Also, they've given it to goats and cows and giraffes and pigs. And hippopotamus and rhinoceroses, all these animals have had no problem with it. In fact, pig farmers used to take these little piglets, you know, that had scours, diarrhea, and they usually die, and they'd buy them for very cheap, and then feed them comfrey, which would heal them, and then they'd raise their pigs, and it'd be a very inexpensive way of hog farming.
Wow.
Comfrey, which would heal them, and then they'd raise their pigs, and it'd be a very inexpensive way of hog farming.
Wow.
So, anyway, that's just an extra side note there. And the giraffes, I think because they're strong bones or whatever, you know, that they need these strong bones for this big long neck that they have to support. They found them to break into places where they're growing comfrey in Kenya to get at the comfrey.
Wow.
And so animals seem to have a tendency to want to use this plant. And I think it's something good for us. And we have to weigh the benefits and the risks. And I really think that if we're cleansing our system the way we should, there are no risks. The benefits are there. And it's a wonderful, wonderful herb. Well, so much for comfrey. Let's talk about our sponsor and open up the phone lines.
Right, we need to.
Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, you're on the air.
I call in regard to the use of comfrey. They mentioned also bronchial problems. It's an herb, as you buy it in the shop, to be boiled or to be... Sometimes there's a difference in cooking the, or boiling the herbs.
Oh, so you're asking how to use it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Bronchial problems.
Generally with a leaf, like we use with the comfrey, we would just make a tea with it, which means that we would boil our water,
yeah,
take the water off the stove, mm-hmm. and then put the comfrey in and let it sit or steep for 10, 15 minutes. And then strain it off, and then we drink that tea.
Okay, how many times a day would you recommend this? Several times a day?
Well, if we've worked on our liver and we've got ourselves cleansed out properly, we can take as much of this comfrey as we want. We could take it on an hourly basis if we wanted to.
So that would help for asthma and bronchial problems?
Oh, yeah, it works really good with asthma. And we want to maybe combine that with an herb that grows locally here, mullein. Mullein's a really good herb for the lungs.
Just the same, you put both together and then let it sit for about 10 minutes.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for your call. Bye now. Let's talk a little bit about comfrey and lung conditions and the numbers that they would call are 224-1400 or 570-1400. And it doesn't have to be about comfrey. They can call about anything they'd like. But talking about lung conditions, other herbs that seem to be really good for the lungs is lobelia. Lobelia is a great herb. It opens up the bronchioles. It relaxes. It's a nervine. And it combined with the comfrey and the mullein seems to work very well. And you know another herb that works well? Singly or in a combination with these other herbs is one that grows in all our gardens, and we're always cursing and going, where's this stuff coming from? Well, if we just use it, then it'd be more beneficial than the vegetables and things we have in our garden. But it's the malva, the malva neglecta that just covers our garden.
It just runs rampant in my backyard.
Yeah, and you pull it, it's got this great big long white taproot. It's very mucilaginous and very soothing for the lungs, and so that particular herb works very well.
Now you could pick that and just go put it on your dehydrator, or the comfrey leaves and just go put it on your dehydrator. I know we cut down our comfrey plant a week or so ago. And
it's coming back up.
I mean, I thought we had really mutilated it good and dried some of the leaves, and we've been powdering those up, but though I see these new little comfrey leaves just coming right through.
It's going to be a big plant, Ruth, before you know it.
I know it is.
Yeah, comfrey grows really well. In fact, you can get, 6-7 harvests a summer with your comfrey.
Yeah. Wow.
Big harvest. Comfrey is a really good plant to have, and so are these other ones that we mentioned.
Right.
Well, let's go back to phone lines. Hello.
Hi. I have a question. You were talking about comfrey and the use of healing bones and things like that. I wonder if a person had a pain in a shoulder joint and didn't know whether it was arthritis or something else. I wonder if putting on that kind of a fomentation of comfrey, if that would maybe help.
Boy, and if it doesn't, it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, by putting comfrey on the outside, it's only going to make the skin more pliable and softer and healthier.
If it were a joint problem, according to the stories you've been telling, things like that, it sounds like comfrey might help.
Oh, yeah. We had an experience. A woman had... broke her arm or something, and so she was in a sling,
mm-hmm.
so hadn't been able to use her shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and when the bone healed and she got out of the sling, she couldn't move her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of set in there, and so she took this comfrey combination, which is comfrey and oak bark and mullein and some of these herbs we talked about, took it in combination in large amounts, like 21 capsules a day for 7 days. And in 7 days, she had full mobility of her shoulder again.
Hmm.
And I think after she'd taken it out of the sling, it had been weeks, and she couldn't move it. Then she finally used this comfrey combination, and within a week, had full mobility.
But when you use it on the outside of the body will just dry and... what it needs?
Yeah, you know, we've evolved with herbs like comfrey, and our system recognizes it as a valuable adjunct and will actually take it into the skin. That's true.
Now, I have a friend who has more comfrey than she wants in her backyard. Will it be pretty easy to transplant?
Yeah, like I said, you know, you just dig those roots and transplant it. And even if you leave just a sliver in the soil, you get a new plant.
Well, so that's good. And one last question. I know that you often go to, you always go, as far as I know, to the preparedness expos and things. Do you know when they're going to have the next one?
They've got one coming up in either the end of September or October.
Okay.
We will announce it next week on the program.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks for your call.
You know, we also had a question about carpal tunnel and how comfrey could be used about that. Remember last night?
That's right. We did have a question, so we ought to talk about carpal tunnel syndrome. And comfrey is exactly one of those herbs that we'd want to use for carpal tunnel syndrome because it has that anti-inflammatory effect to it, which is one of the problems with the carpal tunnel is you've got inflamed tissues there. And comfrey is a very healing for any damage that's been done, which is causing the inflammation. The inflammation is there because of the damage that's been done to the tissues. And so the comfrey is anti-inflammatory, plus it heals those tissues. And the way we would use it would be as an external poultice. We could either put the crushed up herb roots right on the wrist, if that's where we're having the problem, and then just wrap that. And that's kind of hard to do because, you know, you get these slimy herbs sitting there on your wrist, and then it makes it so you can't be as active. But that's one way to do it. Another way to do it would be to take the herbs and do a fomentation, which means you would simmer the herbs on the stove. You'd let them cook for like 20 minutes and then strain that off, put it back on the stove, cook it down to 1/4 of what it was before, dip cotton cloth in that preparation after it's cooled sufficiently, wrap it, the strips of cotton cloth. I like muslin. Muslin works really good. Because
Or white clean diapers.
Right.
Perfect for this.
But you want to do something without dyes and things. And so I find the muslin really good. And you dip it in the tea, wrap it around the wrist, put saran wrap over that, and then a gauze or something, and then maybe do hot and cold packs on it, alternating 12 minutes hot, 4 minutes cold, 12 minutes hot, 4 minutes cold, like that. And that is very, very beneficial, and there's no need going through that surgery for
carpal tunnel syndrome. But they can also take it orally for...
And you can also take it in internally. And also we find marshmallow or the malva. They both work the same. The malva root or the marshmallow root is fantastic for reducing inflammation just by itself. Works really, really good. It is an anti-inflammatory agent. Also, astragalus with that would help, too. But,
yes,
but not necessary. The malva would work just great.
All by itself.
All by itself, yeah. So other things we could do for the carpal tunnel is this comfrey combination in an ointment form. You could put that on. And then this Professor Cayenne's deep heating balm, which basically just heats up the area and brings circulation into the area and drives toxins from the area. That would be put on and then wrapped and kept warm. And that works really good, too. Also, just doing hot and cold. I mean, if you don't have these substances available, you got water. And so you just take hot water and ice water, and you soak it in the hot water for 12 minutes, and you soak it in the cold water for 4 minutes, and soak it in the hot water for 12 minutes, and soak it in the cold water for 4 minutes. And so if you can't afford anything, any plants or anything, just do it with water. Hydrotherapy works too.
Right.
So, you know, we're not limited as to our healing abilities to our income. You know, all these things are available. And if you don't have access to hot water and cold water, try a hot burrito and some Häagen-Dazs ice cream. Hot and cold, hot and cold. Let's go back to the phone lines. Hello.
Hello. Would BF and C ointment be a good face cream? That's my first question. The second question is, we're inundated now with all this information about free radicals and how it prevents aging and all these products that you can buy. Could you talk about that, please?
Okay. One of the things, thanks for your call. One of the things that we have to mention here is that the Herb Shop has taken their BFNC formula and made it into a cream instead of an ointment. And it's really nice to just go ahead.
It is.
And,
very lovely.
And so it does make a nice facial. You can do it yourself by adding aloe vera to your ointment. But they've got it already available. And it's called BFNC, Beauty Facial Cream.
It is. You know, they've whipped it up so nicely, so it's nice and creamy.
Yeah. And it's a good facial. And, you know, you get these little wrinkles in your eyes and things, you know.
I don't.
And yeah, I do. and puffy eyes sometimes. I find the BF&C works very well in smoothing those out. And I like to use it. Not that I'm getting old or anything.
No, we're not getting older.
Oh, and free radicals. It's interesting that there's so much about oxygen, you know, getting more oxygen in the system. And then there's other things about getting rid of free radical oxygen, you know, and the free radicals, how damaging they are. And I think if we deal with more natural substances, then we don't have to worry about that. That we can get all the free radical killing substances that we need, or destroying, I should say killing, destroying substances we need from the foods that we eat. You can get it from whole grains. You can get it from fresh fruits. You know, and if we'd eat more fresh fruits and vegetables that are organically grown and vine ripened, then all these antioxidants are going to be in those substances. And you know, or you can take pills, you know, vitamin C and vitamin E and all these substances also will do the same thing. But why don't we just go back to
apples?
The way it was intended, you know, by nature. And then we don't have to worry about free radicals. The reason we have to worry about free radicals is because we create them. Do you know where most of free radicals are created?
No.
By cooking. You know, and we talked before in the program about Dr. Norman Walker. He didn't even have a stove. Didn't even have a stove in his house. And he lived to be 114 years old.
Of course, he could do that because he was living in Arizona.
He was living in Arizona. And one of the reasons we eat cooked food is to be able to... cooked food tends to be more stimulating and warming to the body. And so in a cold climate, that's what we'd want to do. But, you know, once it comes summertime, hey, the stove's not that necessary.
Aren't you just craving fruit right now?
Yeah,
fruit and
yeah.
Fresh vegetables? I am. Oh, boy, I can't get enough melon and grapes.
I think that's a natural thing. Those cravings are a natural thing. To eat these fresh fruits and vegetables to thin our blood out and make us more adaptable to hot weather.
Right.
And if you have a hard time enduring the heat, hey, stop eating all the meat and stop eating all the cooked food. And eat more fresh fruits and vegetables during the summer, and you're going to feel a lot better.
Drinking water also.
Right. And to get rid of free radicals, that's the exact same program we'd use. Get away from the cooked foods and eat more fresh fruits and vegetables, and you'll get away from the free radicals.
Right.
Okay.
Are there any more callers?
Let's go back to the phone lines. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question about ovarian cancer. If someone had a history of it in their family, I guess I have two questions. One, someone who had ovarian cancer, what would they do? And someone who was afraid of getting ovarian cancer, what would they do?
Oh, that's a good question. These type of conditions tend to run in families, and they tend to be genetic, it seems. But genetics can be changed by environment. And so by changing the environment, then that's how we prevent the condition from happening. Yeah, if we keep eating improperly, then the genetics will take place, and we will develop these conditions. But the weaknesses, the genetic weaknesses, can be there without ever having a problem if we keep our environment healthy and clean. So in order to avoid ovarian cancer, if it runs in the family, we would want to make sure that we're eating a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, that we eat our whole grains, and that we stay away from foods that damage and clog up our bodies. We want to stay away from dairy products. We want to stay away from eating excessive amounts of salt. We want to stay away from sugar and white flour and these types of things. Staying away from these parts of foods and eating wholesome foods is the best insurance against cancer of any kind, whether it be ovarian or breast cancer or any cancer, cervical cancer, any of these cancers. The best way to avoid having the problem is going on to a Word of Wisdom diet, to eat wholesome foods in their season, and to avoid a lot of meat, and especially in the summertime. These are the things that we would do. Also, if the condition existed, one of the things that we'd want to do is do some real intense cleansing of the area. And we can't really work on an area until we've worked on the whole system. Because, you know, if you understand how the body eliminates, then we understand how to deal with a situation. And in order for cancer to exist, ovarian cancer or whatever cancer we're talking about, what has to happen is the environment of the cells has to be polluted. You know, every cell has to be nourished and every cell has to eliminate. And this elimination is then taken into the lymph takes it to the blood takes it to the liver breaks it up, puts it into bile or urine, and out through the bowels or urinary tract it goes. That's how the body gets rid of waste. That's how the body gets rid of toxins, chemicals, poisons, drugs, things that are retained in the system that collect around those cells. And you won't have cancer in an area unless that pollution exists. Now, in order to get that pollution out, we have to make sure the eliminative channels are working. So we'd want to take a good herbal laxative. We'd want to take bitters for the liver. That barberry formula works great. We'd want to do a urinary tract cleanser. Juniper, parsley, uvaeurice. We'd want to make sure those organs are functioning well. And then we'd want to get specific on the female area and work to force the accumulated waste from that area. And ways of doing that would be formula with the female herbs, the femme formula.
The femme. Okay.
That's one thing that we want to take.
Also, a bolus would be good.
Yeah. Taking the herbs in a bolus form, you mix it with... Dean had a great recipe. What was it like? 3 parts of olive oil and 1 part of herbs. You mix it together, put it in ice cube trays, just maybe a fourth full in the ice cube trays. And then when it's frozen, you take it out of the ice cube tray, roll it between your hands, and then it's a bolus, and you can insert it vaginally.
And that tends to just draw all those toxins.
Tends to
right
draw
to
those toxins right to it.
Eliminate.
And then you eliminate it that way. Also,
okay. One other
the yellow dock. It can be used as a douche. Comfrey can be used as a douche, too. You add a couple of tablespoons of vinegar to it. It makes a very good douche, and it's a very cleansing thing to do. And so those are the things that we would do to avoid uterine cancer, or even if we have it, to get rid of it.
But diet is a very important part of this whole program.
Diet is absolutely essential.
Do we have more phone calls?
I think we still have a... Oh. Yes, go ahead.
What if the cancer has spread, like, to the lungs and... into the stomach?
Well, yeah, cancer does tend to spread throughout the whole body, and so we would, besides doing the program we talked about with the internal cleansing and working specifically on that area, we'd have to work specifically on the other areas too, with herbs that are going to cleanse those areas. We mentioned the mullein and lobelia, marshmallow, those types of herbs to help cleanse out the lungs to create a better environment. So they're you have to have a poor environment for cancer to exist. It doesn't exist in healthy tissue. And so the main thing we do for any condition is we want to cleanse the environment and nourish the body so that it's strong and healthy and can fight the cancer off. Because the only thing that kills cancer cells is your own immune system. You know, you can irradiate and you can do chemotherapy and such, you know, and those substances tend to kill, but they also kill your own cells and weaken your own system. So even if they do get rid of the cancer, then you've got a weakened body that then is subject in other places to cancer. Whereas the better thing to do would be to strengthen and cleanse the body and let it fight. And then there are certain herbs that have been shown to stimulate immune activity. Echinacea is one of the prime examples. A lot of research has been done.
Garlic?
Mostly in Germany. Garlic has been researched a lot, showing that it stimulates the macrophage activity in the immune system. It stimulates B cells and T cells. They work very well. Garlic itself also tends to be antibacterial and cleansing.
Are there any books that deal with herbal treatment of cancer?
There is one book, Beating Cancer with Nutrition, that is very good.
Yeah, so there's one that deals with nutrition. Also, Max Gerson had a book, 50 Case Histories of Cancer Cleared Up with Just Diet. There was a special report put out by Sam Beiser that it was a great big volume on cancer. You could probably call the herb shop and see if there's any way to get a hold of it. I'm not sure if it's available anymore or not. But that was available. Dr. Christopher has a newsletter. You can call Christopher Publications at 489-4254 and order that on cell deterioration. He also has a booklet called The Incurables. which gives a lot of insight. But then his books, just most of his books would give good information, School of Natural Healing. And there's a book called Transfiguration Diet that gives the program necessary for tonifying and cleansing the system.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for your call. Some real good questions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's what makes the program what it is the callers. We will get back to the phone lines, but we better talk about our sponsor, or we may not have a sponsor.
The sponsors are the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. Both are carrying their aerobic rider exercise machine if you want to go in and...
That is so fun.
Demonstrate those and see what it feels like to get yourself moving again.
And it's quiet. You can exercise on that and still listen to music or watch television or a number of other things.
I like to do it watching the news.
Even carrying on a conversation.
You can.
And it's so quiet, it's so nice, and so gentle. And you still get the motion of the muscles and the exercise, and it's really great.
Right, and the Wheatgrass Formula 7 is still a popular item in both stores.
And just like the Champion Juicer, okay, nobody has a better price than the Herb Shop on Champion Juicers all the time. They always have that good price on Champion Juicers. Well, they always have a nice price on the aerobic rider. Was it $2.99?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's some people's sales price. And so it's $2.99. And if you go in there and say that you found it someplace else at a better price, they'll look at that and see if they can do it too. They're nice people.
Yes, they are.
They're easy to work with. So the aerobic rider, a good way to stay healthy. But I still like my mountain bike.
I know you do.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Yes, I have a question about healing neck problems. It has, inhibited the person 70 years old from doing much of exercising. Now, the Comfrey formula, is that the best way to go, or is there another?
Yeah, especially on an external basis. And then if you could grow your own Comfrey and get your Comfrey roots.
Now, when you say external basis, you mean get the honey and the wheat germ oil and the...
Oh, not necessarily for a condition like that. We would want to instead do a fomentation. That formula we gave there is good for skin breaks and burns and broken tissue like that. But for something deep down like that, we'd want to do a fomentation where the tea is going to actually go in.
Sure.
And so we'd want to take the herbs and simmer them on the stove, strain them off, and then simmer that down to a fourth of what it was, and dip cotton cloth in that and put that wet cotton cloth right on the area we're working with. And then you can wrap that and then... put saran wrap over it so that, and then wear a turtleneck. That way people can't tell you got the problem.
Mm. Now, as far as it's just straight comfrey, you boil it down? Simmer it down?
You simmer it down, yeah. We don't boil, but we simmer it. And roots are the things we want to simmer. If it's leaves, it's better to do an infusion, which is you boil the water, take it off the stove, and then put the herbs in, let it sit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good enough. Is there anything in addition for that neck problem?
We find the herbs horsetail grass and oat straw added to the regime seem to help quite a bit, especially oat straw, which is so inexpensive. You know, farmers grow oats and then they throw away the straw. And so a lot of times you can buy a whole bale for maybe $2-3 and just drink gallons of that tea, you know, and that seems to work quite nicely.
You don't OD on it. Okay.
Not on oat straw.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for your call.
Bye.
Another thing I like about the Herb Shop is some of the fresh produce they've been getting in.
Well, we just got a bunch of new produce in. We've got Crenshaw melons and grapes and peaches and even apricots.
You know, the Hispanic community has called for a ban on grapes.
Why?
Because of the pesticides that they use on them.
Oh, not these grapes.
Not at the Herb Shop. The Herb Shop has grapes that were not grown with pesticides or any chemicals whatsoever. And they taste so good. They may be a little bit more expensive, but then you don't have the worry of not only having chemicals in the food that you're eating, but killing, you know, farm workers because of the heavy amounts of chemicals that they're putting on grapes.
Exactly.
You know, I don't think we need to have a ban on grapes. We have to have a ban on the pesticides and chemicals. But these grapes are fantastic and grown without these chemicals. We've probably got time for one more call.
Oh, real quick one.
Real quick one. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I do have a real quick question. You mentioned earlier with Comfrey about burns.
Yes.
I'd like to have you just kind of go over burns in general and tell what you can do about different kinds of burns.
Okay, great. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, bye. With burns, you want to make sure that it's really a soothing, non-irritating, non-gravelly type thing. So that putting the herb on a burn tends to sometimes irritate it. So we'd want to deal more with a tea, putting the tea on.
Aloe vera.
And then aloe vera. We use aloe vera. And then the combination of comfrey ointment and aloe vera mixed together, ooh, is so soothing to burns. And I don't care what degree the burns are, whether it's a sunburn or actual burn on a stove or whatever, it works really well. It's been a great program. There's the music. And you know what makes it a great, great program? Are the callers. And we appreciate the calls, and they were great calls today. Until next week, be happy, have a healthier you.
Against the will.